Gainesville.
Welcome to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast presented by Calvary Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia. We are a small but growing group of believers in Jesus Christ and want to invite you and your family to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. The church is located at 1370 Calvary Church Road in Gainesville. And now to bring you today's message, here's Pastor Raymond Laddie.
I couldn't help but think about David and Jonathan. I couldn't help but to think about their stories, and especially Jonathan. I probably, not just because he's an archer, but because of his, where he's at spiritually, his attitude. He was caught up in a very tough place. And we're going to see something today that hopefully will encourage us and push us onward. And for us, even if we find ourselves circumstantially in bad situations, that we make the best of it. We have a spiritual viewpoint of it. We ask God for a spiritual, foundation in that, on how to handle that, how to make the best of it. How can everybody around us be affected by our decisions in a good way, or can they negatively be affected by our decisions? So, we had a great time yesterday, and I appreciate him. It ended up being great, and we met a lot of nice folks, a lot of great shooters, and supported the new outdoor ministry of FCA that they're doing, trying to reach people where they're at, and that's what the gospel is. So if you'll turn with me today to 1 Samuel, we're going to look a little bit at Saul and his son Jonathan. We're going to see two vastly different personalities. We're going to see David and how Jonathan kind of found himself in the middle and how he dealt with it, because he saw things, unlike his father did many times, more of a spiritual sensitivity, if you will. So we're going to look at this today, and I've entitled this Under a Pomegranate Tree, and that's going to be a spiritual lesson for us today, Under a Pomegranate Tree. So the first thing we hear about Jonathan is when Saul is anointed king. Back in about 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 11, that he has sons. And probably the best known of his sons is Jonathan. They were Benjamites. They were skilled in the use of the bow and the sling. They were great warriors. Jonathan would have been an expert with a bow. And that was important because he was a warrior, but it went a whole lot farther than that. So while the Israelites were having to deal with the scourge of the Philistines, which they're still having to deal with today, many of their descendants, we see Saul with an army. We see Jonathan with ownership or being a commander of a large part of that army. And we'll see that Saul approaches things vastly different than Jonathan does. And I want to compare and contrast today, because I see Christians in this compare and contrast, and I see myself in it as well. So 1 Samuel chapter 14, we're going to read a little bit about what was going on. The Philistines were a constant thorn in the side of the Hebrews, of the Israelites. They constantly fought. They constantly tried to overthrow God's enemies. It was physical. It was military. A military aspect. Let me get that word right. And it was also the results of a spiritual battle between the forces of good and evil. God's chosen people, Satan using the peoples of the world or the uncircumcised peoples to try to thwart God's plan for a future Messiah and a future kingdom that would come through the line of David, as David would take the throne after Saul. So we're going to read a little bit about Jonathan here. It says, "Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. One day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, 'Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side.' But he did not tell his father." What's going on here? Does this seem like a rebellious son? Does this seem like a son that was doing all the wrong things? By the way, his father was king, which means he, by inheritance, and by royal lines that we even see today, he was a prince. He would be next in line for the throne. But here was Jonathan. Here was Saul camped out with an army. The Philistines over here, they're coming regardless. to do battle. Saul was very indecisive. Saul was very indecisive. At times he was impulsive. At times he was very worldly. He was spiritually insensitive. That was probably his greatest downfall. God would say, go fight these people, but keep their livestock. He would go and fight those people and annihilate them, and he would annihilate the livestock. You know, God would say, Saul, take your army. Go meet them at battle here. This is my word for you. This will ensure the victory. Take this army and go here and annihilate everything. Saul would go out and take advantage of the situation for himself and take the livestock, or take the loot, if you will. He would do it his way so many times. God had placed him as king, but yet Saul more and more, and this was incremental, done what Saul wanted to do. So Saul is camped out with his great army under some pomegranate trees, the scripture tells us. If we read on down, Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. Anybody know what a pomegranate is? Anybody like those things? You know, if you break them open, they have those little, they remind me of a maypop. Anybody know what a maypop is? Yeah, kind of like a, it's the fancy version of a maypop, I guess you might say. The old timers called them plum grannies. If you ever heard anybody talk about a plum granny, they're talking about a pomegranate. So it's a great fruit. So Saul is camped out in a grove of pomegranate trees, and one in particular, and he is at ease. Now, we could speculate, and some people would argue, well, he was exhausted from battle. That's true. Well, he was resting his troops. Well, that could be true. They were taking time to have a meal, to rest up, to re-equip themselves for the battle with the Philistines. So he's just sitting there, and he's indecisive. And we can kind of see, you know, his personality and what he was thinking here based on what we've learned about him before and what we can learn about him after. He was inactive. You could say he was lazy. You could say that he was undecided. You could say that he was taking advantage of those pomegranates. Maybe they were eating them. We don't know. Shade was a place of comfort. It was a place of ease. And meanwhile, he had a son that thought vastly different. Great warrior. Saul was a great warrior. They had many of the same tactics in battle, doing their daily work. But yet, Jonathan was like, let's get on with it. We need to go over there. Very daring young man. We need to head over there. He's about 30 years old here. About the time that Jesus, I guess, came into his ministry, or I know. He said, we need to go over and probe the enemy. We need to raid them. He was kind of like the SEAL Team 6 at this point of the Israeli army. Meanwhile, Saul's back over here trying to figure out what he's going to do. Saul was always thinking and had a mindset of how can this benefit me? So you have two different groups there. If you read on, it says, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bezez and the other Senna. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of these uncircumcised fellows. Means they were not Jewish. They were not circumcised. They did not have that covenant or that identifying feature that God had used to set them apart. We would call uncircumcised peoples today. It doesn't have anything to do with that physical action. It has, under the new covenant of Christ, has everything to do spiritually with our hearts. Has all the hardness and all of the inactivity and the deadness spiritually toward God been trimmed away. So that we have a spiritual sensitivity to the things of God, which include the work of the church and include the work in the spread of the gospel. So he's saying, we are God's chosen people, Jonathan is. He's taking action to go against the uncircumcised. The uncircumcised today would be unsaved peoples. It would be the world. It would be the non-believers. It would be those that seek to do harm to God's people, whether they willingly and knowingly do it, or maybe they don't quite understand what they are doing. As Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those are the ones we're doing battle. We're battling for their hearts. We're battling for their minds. We're battling for their very existence because we are circumcised in the heart. And we want to see them that way too. We want to see them to come over to the side of being born again. So Saul was taking his ease. Create this picture here. He was the king. He had everybody at his beck and call and command. He was reclining. He was enjoying the material things. He was enjoying the place where it was easy. I believe, if I know a little bit about Saul, inactive. I'm going to tell you something. There are Christians today who are living this lifestyle. They want to call themselves Christians, but you wouldn't know it. On Wednesday. You might not know it on Friday. You know, nobody's perfect, but we need to quit always making a cop-out with that too. As Christians, you wouldn't know it by the way that they talk and the way that they act. They're easing over into the shade. I've had people tell me over and over and over again that I've known for a while sometimes, you know, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm just not to that point yet to join the church. I'm just not to that point yet. They're under a pomegranate tree, and they love it there, and they don't want to move. It's easy. It's comfy. Let me tell you something. If you're going out with the gospel, if you're going to where the battle is, if you're making a raid on someone because you're concerned about them spiritually, so to speak, or you're making a raid against a failing culture, so to speak, it's dangerous. It's not safe. That's just the way it is. Jonathan really probably had as good an excuse as his father did, if not better. And later on with David, he would be able to, you know, he could have said, man, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. I am the rightful king when my father is deposed or when my father is not king. But here is David, this up-and-comer. Jonathan had spiritual sensitivity, and we need that today badly. We need a spiritual sensitivity. In other words, a situation comes, and it's tough sometimes because we tend as humans to act quickly and rashly. Our tempers get in the way, our egos get in the way, our pride gets in the way, and we make a mess not only for that day, but we can make a mess for 10 years down the road that people are going to have to deal with. We can make a mess within our families that's going to become generational. Have to be very careful. God can overcome that. I want you to know that today through Christ. We can make that mess if we're spiritually insensitive. In other words, one way to look at it is we always think about numero uno. You like that Spanish with a southern accent? That's good, ain't it? Numero uno. Is that right, Frankie? All right. We always think about ourselves. We always put up, well, how's this going to affect me? What about them little babies that it's going to affect? Families? Fathers? What about that baby? Engaged couples? What you do today is can ruin your life or enhance your life later on. It's a spiritual sensitivity. It's an unction that I believe can only come through the Holy Spirit. And I think Jonathan had it. And that's why he's so... Basically, what Jonathan did as Saul was rejected by God as king, and here comes little old unassuming David, who was a very formidable shepherd, but his heart was circumcised for the things of God. God, through the Spirit, even in the Old Testament days, put that heart together with Jonathan. They had so much in common. They became great friends. Jonathan forfeited everything. His kingship, his life in battle for his country, so that the plan of God would rightly and in God's will go forward. That's a lot to sacrifice, isn't it? He could have said, I'm the king, David. I'm going to go ahead and have you killed. You know, Saul got after David because he was jealous. Saul did everything out of his own personal selfishness many times. He always took advantage of a situation so it would benefit him. And one minute it seemed like he was right on point with God, and then the next minute he would be like, God who? This is an opportunity for me as king. Jonathan didn't operate that way. So Jonathan led a raid. He led this raid. And by him and his armor bearer, think about that. People say that's foolish and that's suicide. A suicide to do that. Jonathan didn't think so because he had a spiritual sensitivity, I believe, as applicable to a warrior in this time of fighting in the establishment of Israel against her enemies. Verse 7, notice he didn't tell his father, because what would Saul have done? Don't even think about it, son. You stay back here. You're going to be the king one day. You stay here and enjoy the fruits of who I am and what we have here. Somebody else can do that work. Boy, that's the attitude of a lot of people in our churches today that come every once in a while, you know, that don't have any spiritual circumcision going on in their hearts, or maybe they need to be, I don't know if you want to call it recircumcised. They need to rekindle the joy of that salvation. And they say, yes, I'm just going to let somebody else do it. And we make every excuse in the book. I've heard them all. Pretty sensitive to those sometimes. You know why? Because I've made them myself. I know how you can use them for your benefit. Okay? Adam and Eve did it too. But they sit back where it's easy and comfy in a big house somewhere, with a TV on Sunday morning or at a ball game. God's house is open. God's house is open. There's work to be done. Much of it is getting done. Thank you for that. But never lose sight of souls, of lost souls. They're under the pomegranate tree. And that's where they like it. We need Jonathan's to look over at the outposts and say, if we can get a foothold, if we can plant some warriors there, if we can get over there and establish communications and a route, if we can get over there and just strike fear very quickly into that enemy, we can win. My goodness, we need some Jonathans in today's world, don't we? In the meantime, later on, Jonathan, before he went to his death fighting against the Philistines, he would have been a master warrior against the Philistines, knew them well, yet he knew what God would want him to do. He was so sold out and so spiritually sensitive that he knew that God's plan was not for him to be king, but was to support the incoming king and to defend his life. I love the story of the arrows that were shot as a message to David. David had to hide out. Saul said, I'm going to kill you. Throwing spears at David. Hated David because David was chosen. It was the biggest temper tantrum you've ever seen. In some of the Old Testament books, Jonathan was out there in the middle of all that, supporting, loving, encouraging David, because he said, you're rightfully the king of Israel. But then he would have to go back to his father, and he had enough character, and he had enough spiritual sensitivity and foresight to go back to his father and to try to honor his father. Isn't that amazing? The man was between a rock and a hard place, you might say. But he's one of the most fascinating, wonderful characters. He was not sinless now. Don't think about that. He did some disobeying himself here and there. But he saw the big picture. And I think that's how we need to operate as Christians. Within our families' lives, within our homes, we have to develop, with God's help, some spiritual sensitivity. From deadness to being alive spiritually. From when that hard decision comes, to no matter what, and young people, you need to hear this, that you're going to do the right thing no matter what. It may be more convenient and easy to go down that road, and you say, I can get forgiveness for it later. Yes, you can, but what are the circumstantial consequences? What are the consequences? How is this going to affect your children one day, and their children, and their children? It becomes generational. You see, Jonathan's commitment to the things of God and to David would benefit his family long after Jonathan's death. And that's a different sermon. So Jonathan boldly jumps out there and goes, let's go. The young people say that today. I think that's so funny. They get excited. They go, let's go. I like that. I'm like, where are we going? You know. I think it's funny how the generations, you know, have their different ways of saying things. Back in my day, it was radical and cool and bodacious, I don't know. And in the 60s, in my parents' generations, it was, I dig it, you dig it, all this stuff. Anyway, I digress. But basically, he said, let's go. Don't tell Daddy, he'll stop me. Don't tell Daddy, he'll say no. But we need to get this done, amen? We need to get this done. And it wasn't just happenstance and haphazard. Jonathan had planned this. He looked at his options. He was spiritually sensitive. He's like, I want my people to flourish. I want the enemies to be pushed back. Don't you want the enemies that affect us today to be pushed back? Wokeness? All this stuff we have to deal with today, just flat out unbelief? Push it back. Let's go. Stand up and say, that's wrong and this is wrong. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but based on God's word, I can boldly make a stand and say no. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why that is. It's not anything to elevate us. It's to elevate God, because His way is perfection. His way is great and wonderful. It's the way of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to my Father but by me. In Him is all the answers. And so often we deny that. We forget that. Jonathan, they led that raid. Jonathan in verse 8 said, come then, we will cross over toward the men and let them see us. He was just like, if we can just let all them old Philistines see us, it'll freak them out. You know how fear works. I saw it. I saw this and I saw that. You know, some of the funniest things to me these days is people believe in Black Panthers and Bigfoot and Sasquatch. There's no Black Panthers and there's guys like me in the woods sometimes. It could be misconstrued for the above. But fear can do that. What we can't explain or don't understand, we tend to do that with, okay? But getting back, Jonathan said, if we cross here and let them see us, if they say to us, wait until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands, the enemy. Has the Lord given all these challenges that I've talked about that we face in culture and in society today and in government and everywhere else? What's our sign that the Lord has given them over to truth and given them over to our victory? An empty cross, an empty tomb, His word. I win. Not because I did anything, but because I trust and believe and have enlisted in the army of the one that fought the victory and won it, Jesus Christ. But if we read on, this is how one man, Jonathan made the decision. His armor bearer pretty much had to go with him. It was an administrative thing. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Outside of the main camp or the main city, they would have outposts. You know, we had them in Afghanistan. They come under attack all the time. From Taliban raids and from, so those outposts were important. The outpost, if you could infiltrate those or do away with those, then it opened up huge doors for the rest of the tribe or the rest of the army, so to speak. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in. Typical psychological warfare and propaganda, if you will. They're crawling out of the holes that they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. Come on up here, men. It's almost like Goliath when he taunted David, isn't it? Come on up. Let us get a little closer and we'll show you what our bows can do and our spears can do and our slings and our swords. We'll show you what can be done. Jonathan was undeterred. He was looking. He saw things, you know, from a strategic standpoint, militarily, but he also was strategic with his faith. And that, I pray we can improve on. I pray that I can improve on. The strategic situation of a witnessing opportunity on our jobs. The strategic opportunity, spiritual situation of being confronted with something that is contrary to the Word of God and His law. How do we handle that? We look at Paul's example on Mars Hill. We look at those things and we pray and we say, God, you be glorified today. Your word be made manifest. Christ be made known for your glory. Strategic, spiritual sensitivity, the three S's. Very important. We need to pray, we need to study God's word, and we need to look for those opportunities. Jonathan climbed up using his hands and his feet. Jonathan was that spiritual mountain climber with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. Jonathan went in there, and he was on point. He was 100%, as they say today. He went in there and started laying them down, and his armor bearer come in and followed behind him, the scriptures tell us. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area about half of an acre. That's pretty amazing. That was a pitched battle. Then, because of that action, and Jonathan risking his life and not settling to stay under the pomegranate tree, who knows what Saul was over there doing, sleeping, watching his men fight, you know, doing drills, we don't know. He was winning the battle because he had faith. And it was two men led by one leader here. Verse 15, panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field and those in the outpost and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was panic sent by God. You see how God answered that faith of Jonathan when he had spiritual sensitivity? That's huge today for us. If we're working within the church and we have jobs in the church, spiritual sensitivity. Yes, we need to be prudent. We need to make good decisions. We need to be firm and bold, but we need to have a spiritual sensitivity. We need to think about those around us a little bit. We need to make some tough decisions if need be. We need to put them ahead of ourselves a little bit if need be too, because that's what Jonathan did. He put David ahead of himself. He put his father ahead of himself. While he went out and kept an attitude of, I'm going to make the best of the situation that I'm in. It's a tough situation. What a character this man is. It's inspiring to me. I don't know about you. It's inspiring. What can be done. And I love that. God says it was, or the right Samuel says it was a panic sent by God. Saul's lookouts at Gilboa and Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, muster the forces and see who has left us. When they did, it was Jonathan and his armor bearer who were not there. Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God. At that time it was with the Israelites while Saul was talking to the priest. The tumult in the Philistine camp increased more and more, so Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. So Saul went in there and finished routing the army, took the spoils or whatever might have been taken, but it was because of Jonathan's faith, and that's what I want to see. That's what I want to show you today. He went in. And because he refused to sit under the shade of the pomegranate tree, if you will, he went over there and done the climbing and done the work and took the risk and made a way with his armor bearer, made a way. You see, in that armor bearer, you can go to Galatians, I believe it's 6, and look at the putting on the armor of God. Okay? And going after the enemy and being able to withstand what Satan throws at us and how he seeks to thwart us. The rest, the masses, if you will, of that army, and Saul looked and said, we need to get over there. Something great is happening. They're fleeing. And they began to put one and two together, and they could see that it was because of Jonathan and his armor bearer, a man that refused to just rest all the time under a pomegranate tree.
Thank you so much for listening to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast. To hear more of this service, other past services, or to learn more about our programs and ministries, feel free to check out our website, calvarybcgainesville.org.
97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station.